Hi, everyone, and welcome 3:05 here on this Friday. Scott Unash alongside Mark Dukes. Gym class taking you through the 3 o'clock hour here on KGYM. 1600 AM, 107.5 FM, the North Gym at Cedar Rapids. Iowa City listeners tuning in on 106.3 FM, the South Gym. Baseball is back tonight. Twins in action in Houston. We are going to find out real quick if the Minnesota Twins are going to stay in the hunt for a playoff spot in the American League as they start off the first three down in Houston at Minute Maid, taking on the first place and your soon-to-be American League Western Division champion, Houston Astros. It's a murderer's row to start things off for the Twins, Mark, and as we welcome you in on this Friday.
Yeah, it is. Thank you very much. And the Twins were just absolutely hammered by the Astros at home before the All-Star break. And going to try to right the ship tonight with Berríos on the mound. And it's going to be a tough stretch, as you mentioned. First 12 games of the second half. Not the second half, the post-All-Star break.
Post-All-Star break.
Three against Houston, three against the Yankees, three against the dangerous Detroit Tigers, and three against the L.A. Dodgers.
In L.A.
Houston and L.A. on the road.
Going to find out real quick if the Twins are going to be there for the long haul.
I'll take 6-6 and go on to the next 12.
If the Twins, if they don't do well, in your opinion, do you become sellers a little bit more? But on the other hand, if the Twins go, you know, if they go through that stretch 8-4-ish, something like that, 7-5 even. Do you go pursue some people, perhaps?
Well, as almost every other team needs, the Twins need pitching. And I don't think you can depend on Bartolo Colon coming up from AAA and being the savior for the pitching staff.
Looking forward to good barbecue, by the way, Bartolo is. Rudolph's is right around the
corner. He scheduled a pitch against the Yankees, I guess. So we shall see. But I'd like to keep this team intact. Don't do anything foolish. They're overachieving right now, I think, according to folks' expectations. I think the over and under in Vegas was 68 or something like that. And right now the Twins 2/500, and it's just nice to follow a team that's relevant right now, three back of the division lead, and it really depends on what Cleveland does too,
right?
And you know, but the next 10 or 12 days is going to tell a lot, I think.
319-366-1600. The Jerry Ask Investment Service text line is up and ready to roll for you. Jeff Downing's going to join us about 1:30 the hour and get your phone calls when we open up the phones to our topic, and we'll do that here in just a little bit. First and foremost, John Deere Classic continuing over in Silvis, Illinois, TPC Deer Run, Mark, and Zach is on the course right now, as a matter of fact.
He is indeed. He's through 7 holes. He just birdied the par 3 7th hole for the second straight day, made about a 7 or 8 footer for birdie there. That righted the ship after a bogey on 6. Zach also birdied number 1, so he's 1 under on the day, 7 under for the tournament, tied for 7th right now, and just 2 shots back of the leaders, Chesson Hadley and Chad Campbell, each of whom is in the clubhouse and finished for the day. So Zach has 11 more holes to get some more birdies out there, and we haven't really seen that really, really, really low score yet.
No, we haven't.
And it's kind of surprising because the conditions the last 2 days are really favorable, and maybe we'll see one this afternoon.
Yeah, 59s have been shot on this particular golf course. Not to say it's an easy golf course. We talked about that yesterday, but I'm with you. I thought yesterday somebody was going to really go low, and it's just a beautiful day today as well over there.
Mm-hmm.
Not too much wind, a little bit moist still from rains a few days ago. I thought we'd see the scores at the top about 12, 13 under right now. Not the case. So good job for the folks at TPC Deer Run, making it a little tougher anyway for the guys out there. But yeah, some good names have leaking to the top here. Kevin Kisner is up there. Wesley Bryan, Charles Howell III still up there. Charlie Hoffman has made a charge today as he is now in 7th place at -7. Zach, as you mentioned, he's up there. Patrick Rogers, Trey Mullinex, who was over here for the Zach Foundation Golf Classic on Monday. Bryson DeChambeau. Not a good day for Ali Schneiderjans today, though. He kind of struggled.
First round co-leader at minus 80. He shot 3 over par 74. While he'll make the cut, he's fallen down the leaderboard some 19 spots. The cut right now, projected cut anyway, is minus 2. Bubba Watson in the clubhouse, 3 under for the tournament. Appears he will play the weekend over there, and that's good news for the John Deere folks to have Bubba playing on the weekend.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So there you go. So that is what's going on at John Deere. We will keep you updated on that throughout the day right here on KGYM. Other things going on today. Of course, we've got baseball starting tonight for the bigger schools. Their postseason, 4As and 3As will go at it tonight. So best of luck to everybody out there as they will go at it. 3As will play doubleheaders at sites. Marion is hosting one. Manchester is hosting one, I know. So it should be very interesting. Some good baseball out there. 4A substates tonight. Those are single games beginning at 7 o'clock and probably highlighted by defending state champion Prairie at home hosting the Kennedy Cougars. So
some really good 4A matchups. And, I mean, the substates in for Metro teams are really going to be tough. Jeff's over at Bettendorf to open up. Washington has a tough assignment out of the chute, I think. So it's going to be an interesting postseason because I don't think any of the Metro teams are particularly dominant.
No, which is interesting because, and even more than usual as far as baseball is concerned, and baseball is the one sport that, for a good example, two Raiders fell last night in Class 1A in district semifinal play. So you never know what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. You run into a hot pitcher, you got to run into a team that's not particularly good, but they have a good pitcher out there. You don't know what you're going to get. So.
All right.
That's what makes baseball very interesting and sometimes clouds the field a little bit, if you will, out there. 319-366-1600 as we come your way on this Friday.
As far as Major League action, to resume the post-All-Star break, we mentioned the Twins at the Astros. We'll have that for you here on KGYM. Here's the schedule for the remaining Midwest-based teams. The Cubs will be in Baltimore for a series. Very interesting there. St. Louis and Pittsburgh hook up. See if the Pirates can make any ground or the Cardinals can stay within distance of the Brewers. Seattle is at the Chicago White Sox minus Jose Quintana. Philadelphia is at Milwaukee and Texas at Kansas City. So there's your lineup for Midwest teams to start the post-All-Star break.
Got to think the Brewers with the Phillies in town got to take advantage of that situation.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Orioles have not been playing very good baseball lately in the American League East, but they still have a very formidable team.
Yes, they do.
So, no word as of yet, I think, when Jose Quintana is going to take the mound and toe the rubber for the Cubs, but it's going to happen soon. He was spotted wearing a Cub uniform today in Baltimore, so saw plenty of pictures of that.
Montgomery going tonight?
Montgomery will pitch tonight, mm-hmm. So wondering what's happening as far as the rotation. Mike Montgomery is going to pitch, so it looks as though he's going to stay in the rotation. That probably means Eddie Butler is out of the rotation going into the bullpen as the long guy. Would be my speculation on that, but it remains to be seen out mm-hmm. there. And there's also speculation that the Cubs are after Sonny Gray of the Oakland Athletics. They're number one starter out there. Not sure what the Cubs are going to give up to get Sonny Gray.
Yeah, what can they dangle in front of the Athletics?
Cubs now have no top 100 prospects in Baseball America's list. So I'm not sure what kind of a deal they would be able to package to get them out there. Are you, before we get to a couple news of the day items here, are you, I thought, you know, I was looking forward to this, and as each day passes, I want to get this thing over, and I don't want to hear about it anymore between Floyd Mayweather and Colin McGregor. It is just, folks, if you're buying into all the hype they are selling, I got a bridge for you to buy as well, because this thing is, it's beyond reality TV and ridiculousness right now, what they're doing, and they're taking it on the road, and a lot of people are spending a lot of good money to go see them bark at each other and and swear every other word at each other. I'm ready for it to be done.
They're in London now, I believe, and doing a tour over there. I haven't paid a great deal of attention to it. I think when the fight gets closer, if it does come off, I assume it's going to come off.
I would assume.
I'll take a little bit more interest in it right now, but I mean, this is boxing. It's posturing. It's theater, and it's not the first time it's happened, not the last. So I try to avoid that stuff.
I try to avoid it as well, but it's kind of out there. So there you go. Floyd and Connor yelling at each other a little bit more. Is news today of note in the world of basketball, college basketball? And this is a win for the little guy, Mark, out there. Finally, a win for the little guy out there. The NCAA men's basketball tournament selection process is going to be changed a little bit as far as how they determine how teams are going to be selected into the NCAA tournament. They met this year's men's basketball selection committee met in Chicago the last 3 days, the 11th, the 12th, and the 13th. They voted to change some selection and seeding guidelines to balance neutral site and road game outcomes on what is called their team sheets. Every team has a team sheet. It was divided, I believe, into three columns, and now it's going to be divided into four columns. So there you go. And there's going to be more emphasis now on road games and neutral site games. So what does that mean? It means that for a school, let's just say the UNI Panthers of Ben Jacobson as a great example, because as you know, Mark, UNI really beefs up their non-conference schedule each and every year. They are not afraid to go out and play Power Five schools on the road or in a tournament. They do it very often. Didn't get a whole lot of help when they won those games. They are going to get more help now. Even for a loss on the road to a top echelon team, they're going to get a little bit more thrown their way as far as RPI, which apparently is also going to be on the way out after next year. The NCAA is going to come up with a new sabermetric to replace the RPI. It's going to include KenPom's offensive and defensive efficiency numbers. I mean, you have to be an MIT mathematician, I think, in 2018-2019 to be on the NCAA selection committee. They're going to give it a test run next year behind the scenes. It will not be implemented into how the field is selected. I think it's great. I think it's fantastic. Monmouth 2 years ago should have been in the NCAA tournament. There are so many teams that should have been in the NCAA tournament the past 3 or 4 years from the mid-major conferences. I, for one, applaud this. It's late, but at least they're coming to the dance now.
Well, we'll fix everything. Only time will tell. We'll see how this thing plays out in the 17-18 season. Essentially, as you mentioned, neutral games and road games are going to be weighted a little bit more in each column of the team sheets. So the idea is to reward those teams that play tough teams, either neutral sites or on the road, and by and large, it's the mid-majors that do that.
And even if you are a Power 5 school, you never used to go. I mean, North Carolina going to UNI a couple years ago was the exception to the rule. Roy Williams did that because Marcus Page is from Iowa. Roy Williams does that, and good for Roy. I applaud him for doing that. But they lost out in a big way as far as RPI, etc., for going to Cedar Falls and losing that game. Not going to lose as much now with the new breakdown. If you want to see it, it's in various places as far as the internet is concerned. CBSSports.com has it all broken down into columns. Column one, I'll just go over column one, is home games against teams rated 1 through 30, neutral games versus top 50 teams, and road games against top 75 teams. So it's expanded now to 75. Even if you lose that game, you're still going to get more prestige, more RPI points than you used to. Mm-hmm. It used to be like the top 50 or something like that. So they expanded it by 25. Mm-hmm. So I think it's good. It's a good thing. Yes, this is a lot of mumbo jumbo if you're driving around out there. But trust us, it's going to be better for college basketball. Hopefully you'll see more good non-conference matchups for Power 5 teams coming to an arena near you. We'll see.
What's the most accurate metric? I don't know. But at least the NCAA is keeping open-minded about it and tweaking things a bit, at least experimenting to see, you know, if this is going to be a better thing.
There you go. 319-366-1600. Do you agree with it? Is that a good thing? A lot of UNI fans out there, Drake fans as well. Western Illinois, if you're in the Summit League, the Mo Valley, whatever the case may be, it's going to help, I think, a little bit. What do you think out there on the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line at 319-366-1600? Let us know what you think out there.
Cajun Troy, it still won't help Iowa.
A little bit. The way they were explaining it in the article that I read was...
The Big Ten ACC Challenge, you go out and play a good team on the road.
Right.
That will help Iowa.
Yes, but Iowa, of course, if this was a day prior to the Big Four Classic and you and I was having a good year, Iowa had to go up there to Cedar Falls, which we may revisit, Mark, when we talk about biggest upsets. If Iowa or Iowa State had to go up to Cedar Falls or go to Des Moines to play you and I or Drake like in the old days and like it should be still, they wouldn't be penalized so much for doing that. So that's just, I think a good move right there. Should mention this as well here at 321. We've talked so many times, and if you were at the Zach Johnson Foundation Golf Classic on Monday, you saw the pros play in shorts.
Yes.
Except for Cameron Tringali, who did not get the memo, Zach said. We have said numerous times in the show, what's it going to hurt if PGA players played in 95, 98-degree weather with heat indexes of 105? What's it going to hurt if they're wearing shorts? Caddies wear shorts. Everybody in the crowd's wearing shorts. What's it going to hurt? We've talked about that before.
Yes, we have.
Well, apparently the LPGA is going toward that way of thinking as well. Because
kind of in reverse, though, isn't it?
Well, yeah, a little bit.
They're already allowed to wear shorts.
They are allowed to wear shorts.
Skorts, yeah.
Whatever a skort is.
You know what a skort is.
It's the skirt with the shorts underneath.
Yes.
Okay. Well, according to numerous LPGA players, they were informed today via an email about a strict new dress code for LPGA players during tournaments and during pro-am parties.
I already don't like the sounds of this.
Here you go, Mark. Racerbacks with a mock or regular collar are going to be allowed. No collar.
What backs?
No racer back.
What's a racer back?
A racer back, I believe, I looked it up because I had no idea. It is a shoulderless apparel, piece of apparel.
Okay.
Strapped.
Okay.
Got to have collar. Plunging necklines are not allowed starting Monday on the LPGA Tour.
Okay.
Leggings, you know, the famous leggings, yoga pants, whatever, however you want to word it, they are not allowed unless under a skort or shorts. And then, if you're the length of skirt, skort, and shorts, that should be the name of my fantasy football team next year. Skirt, skort, or shorts must be long enough to not see your bottom area, even if covered by undershorts at any time, standing or bent over. And appropriate attire should and will be worn to pro-am parties. Dress yourself to present a professional image.
Has this been a problem?
I don't.
Has there been a big outrage about this?
You would think we would heard more about it if there was. But apparently. Now, I have seen some of the leggings being worn. And all it takes is one or two people to complain about this, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's not you or I that's complaining about this. Am I correct on
Laura
that?
Davies is not worried about this.
Laura Davies isn't on the tour anymore. But somebody didn't like it, and the LPGA top brass went along with it anyway.
Well, I watch all kinds of golf, including the LPGA, and I suppose there are some women that maybe press it a little bit in that regard. And what happens if they press it and or they get kicked off the tour, or what happens?
There is going to be a fine. It will start off as a $1,000 fine, and for every subsequent fine, it will be doubled. So, and you're talking about, you know, the LPGA Tour, they make decent money, but it's not money, unfortunately, like the PGA Tour is. Mm-hmm. There are some tournaments that they do get a pretty good prize purse, but they're not making as much.
Well, help me out with Skorts, and maybe you can't, Scott.
I don't wear Skorts.
I'm no fashion expert, but I do know Skorts are. It's basically a skirt with, you know, basically underwear underneath, so you don't see the bottom. I mean, that's why they make Skorts, I think.
You know, Zach just made a break.
Help me out there, please. And he's in long pants.
He's in long pants.
Ryan from Walford on the text line. Basically, they just need to dress the opposite of Paulina Gretzky. Although I appreciated her white dress
at the U.S. Open.
White outfit a year ago.
In 2016. That will not be tolerated on the LPGA Tour,
There's
Ryan.
There's no rules against what the wives wear, is there?
Oh, goodness gracious. Yeah, I don't know what happened. Now, getting back to the pro-am parties, when we had the, what was called, I can't even remember, the Symetra Tour, stopped here in Cedar Rapids, Marion, for, what was it, 2 or 3 years?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Played at Hunter's Ridge, which was a really cool thing. I wish it would come back, something like that, because it was really neat. And some really good golfers played there and won. And the pro-am parties, I attended a few of those. And there were some of the girls that would press the dress code a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't interview them or anything like that to see exactly why.
Apparently you noticed.
Well, yeah, it was hard not to. So maybe they, again, maybe somebody didn't like it. Maybe a sponsor didn't like it, perhaps, Mark. Huh? That's what it's going to take, because you can't lose the sponsors.
I think by and large, most of the gals are pretty tasteful.
I would agree. I'd say 98% of them are out there.
Cage and Troy, the ESPYs should have a dress code.
Yes, it should.
No sweatpants. Kevin Durant looked a mess. His mom should buy him a suit. I think Kevin can afford one if he chose to.
Yeah, I think he's okay out there. Troy knows what skorts are. 328.
Combination of skirts and shorts. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go. All right. 328 here on the program. How far has this digressed? By the way, the Marshall Islands won yesterday.
No.
Yes, they did. Marshall Islands won. Marshall Islands.
In a squad game or what?
No. They won. I will get you details on that.
That's the team that you talked about being down 85-0 the other day?
Yes.
At halftime?
They won.
They won.
They did win. Stay tuned for the Todd Frommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn coming up at 4 o'clock today. They're going to be live at Coach's Corner Sports Pub in Iowa City, and they will be there for happy hour from 4 o'clock until 7 o'clock. They also will have your opportunity to win a $30 gift card to La Cantina. Good toward a quick and delicious lunch and margarita after work on the patio. Great day for that today.
Mm-hmm.
Sizzling takeout on your way home, or have La Cantina cater your upcoming summer party. They have three locations: the Fountains on Edgewood Road, downtown Cedar Rapids, or in the Lincoln View Square in Marion. Check out KGYMradio.com for more information about that. So, we will have that coming your way between 4 o'clock and 7 o'clock. We're going to take a break, come back. We're going to dive into our topic today, which is not the LPGA dress code or skorts or anything like that. It is about the top all-time upsets in the state of Iowa. Can be college, can be pro. You can think of a pro event. Could be high school events out there. Team, individual, whatever the case may be. And we're going to take your texts on that. Going to take your phone calls as well coming up for our Friday topic here on the Friday edition of the Gym Class. So please stay with us. More to come right after this here on KGYM.
Cedar Rapids Iowa City HelpWanted.com salutes the employee of the month, the one employee you can't live without. The others, let's just call them Dave.
Dave, why have you been shredding for hours?
The boss said we should cut costs, Mr. Employee of the Month.
How does this cut costs?
These are the expense reports for the whole year.
You shredded them all?
Thanks to me, our expenses this year are zero.
If you don't mind hiring Dave's, go to the national job boards. They may be free, but trust us, they'll cost you. We make it easy to post a job, and it's local, so you won't get spammed by faraway job seekers. Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com. Local jobs that work.
Come play the Wednesday game at St. Andrews Golf Club and pay no green fees. Shotgun tee off is at 1. The cost is just $30. Individual and team play will be chosen randomly. And since there are no green fees, all the cash goes to prizes, meaning you get 100% of your money back. No green fees. No more excuses. Come play the Wednesday game at St. Andrews Golf Club. Sign up in the clubhouse before 12:30 or call that morning, 393-9915.
The Ford Summer Sales Event is in full swing. Get 0% financing for 72 months plus an additional $1,000 on top of your trade-in. It's summer's hottest deal on vehicles like Ford Fusion, Escape, Mustang, and Explorer. Offer ends July 31st. Take on summer right with Ford, America's best-selling brand, and save big across a full lineup of Ford vehicles. Get 0% financing for 72 months plus $1,000 on top of your trade-in. Hurry into the summer sales event going on now only at your Ford dealer. Best-selling based on 2016 sales. Not all buyers qualify for Ford credit financing. 72 months at $1,389 per month for $1,000 finance regardless of down payment. Trade Assist Cash requires trade-in of 95 or newer vehicle or lease terminated 30 days prior to or 90 days after delivery. Not available on Mustang, Shelby, GT350, GT350R. See dealer or go to buyfordnow.com for complete details. Take new retail delivery from dealer stock by July 31st, 2017.
The key to success? Keep it simple, especially when it comes to hiring. And nobody makes it easier than Indeed.com. Post a job in minutes. Set up screener questions. Manage your candidates from one dashboard. According to an independent study, 5 times more hires are made through Indeed than any other job site. New users claim your $50 credit to post a sponsored job at Indeed.com/credit. Indeed, the world's number one job site. Terms, conditions, and quality standards apply.
Covering Eastern Iowa sports for more than 40 years combined. UNASH and Dukes. The Gym Class on KGYM.
Fashion police calling from all over the place during the break. We're back with you at 3:33 here on the Friday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM. 319-366-1600. That is the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line. It is open. It is ready for you to put in your input for the top state of Iowa, upsets of all time as far as individual team sports are concerned, college, high school, pros, whatever the case may be. I was trying to think of Iowa Cornet games going back, Mark, but I couldn't come up with any. I remembered. All I can remember about the Iowa Cornets was Molly Bolin. Machine gun Molly Bolin.
She was good.
She was really good.
A couple submissions on the Investment Services text line if you want to get rolling.
Yeah, go ahead. Let's get it. Let's get going.
I think one on everybody's list, UNI basketball, Ali Farouk Benesh.
Ah, yeah. That's got
over Kansas.
Is that as? Can we put together a top five, a top 10 list?
As long as we don't call it the Mount Rushmore.
Okay. We won't call it that. But doesn't it have to be on there, that shot, in that situation, against the number one team in the country? I mean, you're pulling up. You have them on the ropes. Why not go for the dagger?
I'd say top five.
I think it's got to be top five is Ali Farouk Benesh for the UNI Panthers. And while we're staying with UNI, and I think I just touched upon it a little bit earlier on, the big win at the Dome in front of the crowd of, 25,000 or so when they beat Iowa up there in Cedar Falls,
yeah.
Which, of course, was the first brick in the foundation of the Big Four Classic when it kind of got the momentum started in that direction, unfortunately.
319-366-1600 is our Ask Investment Services text line and our phone line. Jeff Downing manning the phones on the other side of the glass. Thank you, Jeff, for that. Cyclone Tim, Iowa State beating Wilt Chamberlain-led Kansas team.
Mm-hmm.
It had to be in the 50s, is that right, Tim?
Late 50s, I do believe it was, because that's when Wilt was there.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a good one, yes, going way back. And extra points for coming up with that, too, going back into the history archives into the 1950s. Let's bring in Rick from Cedar Rapids here, who wants to join us, talk about our topic on this Friday afternoon, a gorgeous day today at 3:35. Rick, good afternoon. How are you?
Pretty well. How are you guys?
Good.
Doing great. Doing great. What do you got?
Well, I thought of one, and then I just thought of another while I was waiting. When poor Dan Gable's last NCAA match in the NCAA tournament as a senior, he lost to Larry Owings.
Yep.
That was a huge upset. And back in 1952, I believe it was, that Iowa beat Ohio State 8-0.
Mm.
82. I'm trying to think of
52.
Oh, 52. Yeah. I beg your pardon. I'm sorry. Yes.
Yeah, it was when Evie coached.
Okay. All right.
Larry Owings is at or near the top of my list. That was a 13-11 victory by Owings.
Only
in
loss.
In the 1970 NCAA tournament. As most people know, Gable was undefeated in high school and college. And Owings kind of popped off before the meet, saying he was going to get Gable. And the ABC, the network, had Gable do some spots ahead of that time, like tune in to watch me complete my career and this and that. Dan wasn't very good in front of the camera at the time, and it took several takes to do that, almost up until match time. But Owings beat him. That YouTube video is still out there.
Oh, yeah.
If you want to revisit it, it was something else. But it spurred Dan Gable to an incredible performance in the Olympic Games 2 years later, during which he didn't allow a point.
Which right. we, yeah, 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 very much so.
I remember. And Owings had cut all sorts of weight to get down to Gable's weight.
Mm-hmm.
I think he wrestled at like 170-something, and Gable was in the 140-some-pound range. So, you know, he had a size advantage other than the weight he had cut to get down there.
Yeah.
Yeah, he definitely was gunning for him at that point. Hey, Rick, appreciate it. You have a great weekend, all right?
You too, thanks.
337. Thank you to Rick.
More submissions on the text line. Thank you again to Cyclone Tim. Jack Fleck beating Ben Hogan yeah. in the 1955 U.S. Open.
I put that down as my number one. With all due respect to everything else, Jack Fleck coming through in 1955 and beating Hogan, coming from nowhere, a guy from Davenport, Iowa, winning that. Is
2 years prior, John Jacobs III of Cedar Rapids beat Fleck in the Waterloo Open.
The Waterloo
and 2 years
Open.
Later, Fleck beats Hogan in the U.S. Open.
Yes. Big U, big S. Not big S, big U.
95-78, Iowa upsetting Michigan 14-13.
Yes, I have that down as well. A couple of the Michigan wins. No, the 85 game, we are not going to take that as an upset win.
No, because Iowa was number one.
Iowa was number one in the country. Michigan was number two at that point.
I know you have some high school items on your list. We've got two texts mentioning some high school items, Scott.
Yeah, the one that always comes to mind when I talk big upsets took place in basketball, boys basketball at the U.S. Cellular Center. And not because I believe there was a Bruner involved, but Jefferson beating Iowa City West when West High had Glenn Worley mm-hmm. on that team, and believe they were number one in the state. Nobody gave Jefferson a shot that night.
Rusty Nail Mike Bruner, a starter on that team.
And Jefferson came up with the stunning victory at the U.S. Cellular Center and push them on to the state tournament.
Another basketball-related submission here from 97-49 in 1989, Scott.
Yes.
Kyoto beat Palmer Pomeroy and snapped their 103-game winning streak, the third longest in the nation at the time, and Kyoto went on to win the Class A title.
That is true. That's another one. Although that was a really good Kyoto team, though.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it was an upset because of what Pomeroy Palmer had done, but that was still a very good Kyoto team back then.
85-32 in 1993, 1A state wrestling semifinals. At 130 pounds, Dan Gabrielson of Belmont Clemmy defeated Ike Light of Lisbon 8-5. Light was seeking his fourth title, and Gabrielson avenged a 9-6 loss in the state finals the previous year.
Hmm. I did not have that one on the radar, so kudos for that. More?
Cyclone Tim, any win in the Todd Licklider area?
Tim! 319-366-1600. Love
Cyclone
to hear
Tim
from
hasn't
him.
Even mentioned maybe the biggest upset in Iowa State history. You know which one that is, right?
Which one?
And that Friday night in Ames.
Oh, against number 2 Oklahoma State.
Exactly.
Yep, that was one that I had up here as well. And as well as far as Iowa State is concerned, the 2009 win over against Nebraska, that was the I'm So Proud of You game with Paul Rhodes. I think that one was a biggie. Nebraska was kind of falling off a little bit right there, but still, that was a big, big win. Iowa State had only beaten Nebraska, I think, twice since 1977. Then you got to throw the Iowa State win against Oklahoma in 1990 football, because that's the only win Iowa State has had, I believe, since 1967 against the Oklahoma Sooners. Mm. So it's been a few moons between wins.
Well, I saw a couple that came close, though. I remember in Norman with Dwayne Crutchfield pounding the ball down the field, and poor Alex Giffords comes in and misses essentially a chip shot field goal. And now, one of Donnie Duncan's years, I think the Cyclones started 5-0. And Oklahoma rolled into town, and I think it was 7-7 at the half before the Sooners beat him with something like 42-7.
Yeah. 319-366-1600 here at 342. Biggest upsets individually, team-wise, as far as the state of Iowa is concerned. Love to hear your input. You can give us a call at that number, 319-366-1600, or just shoot us a text.
I've got to go back to my days covering college football, and I'm going to start with Iowa State.
Okay.
And I covered the Donnie Duncan era for a couple, 3 years. Cyclone Tim or somebody else helped me out the year. Iowa State lost at home to Pacific. I don't think Pacific's even a Division I program now.
Well, they are in basketball.
Pacific beat them rather handily. At home. It was a huge upset.
The other way around, though.
The other way around.
The other way around as far... Well, you want to go that route. Iowa versus, Western Michigan a few years back? That was one that a lot of people would like to forget. And that was not PJ Flex Western Michigan.
No.
That was way back in the day. As far as that is concerned. 319-366-1600.
First game I ever covered for the Gazette while I was on the University of Iowa football beat, the opener in 1981 when Iowa beat Nebraska 10-7. And I think Nebraska was ranked in the top 10 at the time, coming off a really
yes.
good season. And I think Iowa lost the next week to Iowa State.
Yes, they did. And then what did they do the third week?
Then went on and beat UCLA, didn't they?
They beat UCLA the very next week.
Just went on to that Rose Bowl season, but that was a big-time upset for the Hawks.
I'm going to find that Pacific game here. If it's the last thing I do, I'm going to find this Pacific game.
I think it was 79-80, 81, something like that.
Let's see.
They got an Iowa State press guide around.
Pacific, 7-3, 1979, October the 6th. 24-7 they lost.
Yep. That's it.
That's it, in 1979. Sorry to drag that up. Sorry to drag that one up. 319-366-1600.
What else you got on your list?
I already talked about Jack Fleck. A few Iowa games in there as well. I wrote down the 81s. Games that you just mentioned. Also, the game, the Paul Kajawa game against the Michigan Wolverines up in the Big House, 24-23. Do you remember who came up with the game-clinching interception in that particular game here at 3:45?
Boy.
I think he wore number 31 as a linebacker. Number one in your heart, though. I believe it was John Derby.
John Derby, okay.
I believe it was John Derby that came up with it. This one doesn't resonate a lot, but it was during the when Hayden Fry's last years, Iowa went to the Sun Bowl, I believe, in 1996, and somehow in the backroom dealings of Bowldom back then, because that's how bowl games were put together back then, Iowa ended up having to face the Washington Huskies. And all Washington had done was, they were the co-champs of, I believe it was the Pac-10 back then. And somehow things went askew for them, and they ended up falling all the way down to the Sun Bowl to take on an Iowa team that was just a little bit over 500.
Mm-hmm.
And Vegas, the entire world were setting, lines of, Washington by 13, Washington by 14, and Iowa waxed them in the Sun Bowl that year. I mean, that wasn't a great Iowa team. Was it a great win as far as the annals are concerned? No, but it was a pretty good upset because Iowa had a pretty bland team that year and beat the Pac-10 champions, co-champions at least, the Washington Huskies for Hayden Fry.
That's a good one.
Back in the banana peel era of the Iowa uniforms.
Cyclone Tim loves this. He says, I won't mention Northwestern State if you won't talk Hampton.
I still remember where I was on each of those games. For the Iowa-Northwestern State game, you just kind of knew that ball was going to go in the hoop. Watching it here, and you just kind of knew, even though it was a tough shot, you knew that ball was going to go in, just the way that that game had progressed. And the Iowa State-Hampton game, that was a late-night game back in the day when they wouldn't show that. It was different back then as far as TV is concerned, and that game did not start till like almost 11 o'clock Iowa time.
Mm.
And it was out in Boise, I believe. And that didn't end up real good. I will throw this out there. Another one I had on my sheet, and it pains me to do so, the very first game of the Steve Alford era.
We've got a couple texts along that line.
When Iowa beat the defending national champion Connecticut Huskies at Madison Square Garden.
Mm-hmm.
With a pretty ragtag group. Sorry, Duez.
I didn't think it was that bad. Jacob Jakes,
Duez Henderson. That was the
Dean
team
Oliver.
They had, and Dean was on it as well. But there was, it wasn't the greatest Iowa team in history. Let's just put it that way.
We got a ton of more texts. Let's get to some of those.
Okay.
Cajun Troy, my son Patrick beating Jordan Cotton, future Hawkeye, in the 100 meters at Drake.
There you go.
That away. Ryan from Walford, Prairie's entire baseball season last year. No one expected that.
No, but they were good, man. They had good personnel. Good personnel. They did go under the radar.
1972, number one West Branch in 2001 in the first round of district baseball, lost to an unranked Mount Vernon team and got 10 runned. West Branch was 32-2 at the time.
Hmm.
21-34, how about Iowa beating the Cyclone basketball team last year when the Cyclones didn't have the time to even be in Iowa City?
Is that going to open up a can of worms? Cyclone Tim online, too.
31-66, most people don't know about this one. Just something local since I played on the team. But in 2001, Davenport West, we beat Bettendorf for our only eighth win of the season. Not very good that year to go to the state tournament. I'm assuming that's basketball.
Yes, I would assume. I would assume that would be the case. There was a... Oh, go ahead. I'm going to look up another one because I just thought of one.
All right, 69-01, high school baseball substate. The year, I believe, was 2007. Cedar Rapids Prairie team beat Jefferson. Prairie team had less than 10 wins on the season, and Jefferson was a top five team, maybe number one. Prairie's first ever trip to state resulted.
Yeah, interesting. And there are a lot of those out there. Teams making it to state for the first time or some background as far as that is concerned. But I love those stories. And that's what makes high school basketball, high school football, wrestling, whatever the case may be, that's what makes it fun out there.
95-78, and this one I didn't realize, and maybe I'm assuming it's true, Drake beating Iowa State in the 1957 Sun Bowl. Okay.
We're going to take your word for it. I'm going to take your word for it on that one.
86-50. Iowa State's last winning season. That was a huge upset.
See, here we go. it's game on now with everything going on.
What about the Cap One Bowl? But Iowa beat LSU.
Was it an upset, though?
I think it was.
With that.
LSU was 11th ranked at the time.
Had Jamarcus Russell.
I had a ton of pros.
Yeah, very much so. We need to take a break, come back. More of your texts, more of your phone calls, more of your thoughts as well. Biggest upsets, state of Iowa history. We'll continue when we come back.
Your building might look good, but how about your parking lot? Faded lines, potholes, and cracks can ruin a good first impression. Fixing your lot can be more affordable than you think. Pate Asphalt will be happy to come take a look and give you a free estimate. They do everything, repair, striping, sealing, and they've been doing top-notch work around here for over 30 years. So let your parking lot impress your customers before they even step inside. Pave it to last with Pate Asphalt. Contact them at PateAsphalt.com.
Austin, we got your game.
Dave Austin here from Austin's Golf. We're dedicated to helping you play your best and look your best. Our certified club fitters will get you into the clubs to fit your game. And we also fit you into great-looking apparel from brands like Puma, Nike, Adidas, and Under Armour. And the best part is it's all on sale, up to 50% off. Austin's huge apparel sale going on now online at Austin's.com and at your local Austin store. Save up to 50%. Play better, have fun, and shop Austin's.
Ready to take on that summer project? Ask Sherwin-Williams and save 40% on paints and stains during the 4-day Super Sale, July 14th through the 17th. With 40% off our exceptional paints and stains, you can give your whole home a color makeover. Your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams paint store is right around the corner. Find it at sherwinwilliams.com/save. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
They go to the ballpark to watch the game. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes, the gym class, KGYM.
Having fun with our Friday topic coming up next week. It will be Kyle and Mark manning the ship here as I will be on vacation next week. And looking forward to seeing what you got on. Who's Monday?
We've got Mike Kloss, because that's sports columnist. He'll join us for his every other week segment, and some of the usual guests during the week: John Cranton on Wednesday, Chris Liss. About time to get your fantasy football questions ready to go.
State baseball.
John Cranton will be back on Thursday. State baseball, British Open. We'll have a good week.
Yeah, it'll be a good week, and that'll be coming up Monday beginning at 3 o'clock. Couple more minutes here if you'd like to get in your 2 cents worth as far as the top all-time state of Iowa upsets. 319-366-1600 on the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line, or you can reach us as well. Just pick up your phone and give us a call at 319-366-1600. By the way, Emil's Hideaway poll question. Be sure to check in on this at kgymradio.com, dealing with the JDC. Where will Zach Johnson finish at the John Deere Classic this weekend? First place, top 10, top 20, making the cut. Go ahead and vote, kgymradio.com, before he jets off along with some of the other folks over to Royal Birkdale for the British Open, the Open Championship, I should say, coming up next week.
Indeed, we're getting some repeats from earlier mentioned events, you and I over Kansas in the NCAA basketball tournament. 47-74, Xavier beat City High to go to the state in football in 2008. Derby was the quarterback. on that team.
Yeah, he was.
It was a small Iowa college that beat Iowa in basketball a few years ago.
I think it was Augustana. It's not a state of Iowa. No. It's either Augustana of Illinois or Augustana of South Dakota. I believe that was the case. It was a exhibition game. They don't call it exhibition, though, I don't believe.
No. 17-37 in 1994, West Delaware beat rival number one and undefeated Western Dubuque in basketball. Next game, the Hawks were up 12 entering the fourth and lost. Todd Reimer went nuts, scoring 20 in the quarter.
That Todd Reimer. Oh, baby. Of course, now Kirkwood and Prairie baseball coach.
Yes, Cajun Troy. Let's not forget North Dakota State beating Iowa last year in football.
Yeah. I think just by the three individual ones, I think these are the top three. And correct me if I'm wrong. I think Jack Fleck, Dan Gable's loss, and Ali Farouk Manesh. Would you take that as a top three?
I can't disagree. You know, we've had some strong ones suggested on the text line and on the phone line and in our own notes, but I can't really top those three.
No, I just, something that Jack Fleck did in 1955, I don't even think you can really put it to what would happen today.
Would you put it over Owings beating Gable?
Just because it was a happy thing, except for Ben Hogan. He wasn't happy about it. Boy, I don't know. I mean, they're both, like I said, one's happy and one's a sad situation.
Mm-hmm.
But it'd be tough to beat those two. It'd be like, I mean, Ben Hogan was golf in the 1950s. And it would be like Tiger Woods during his run in the early 2000s losing to an qualifier from Iowa.
Todd Schultz from St. Andrews.
Yeah. Not that Todd can't play. Hi, Todd.
We'll see you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow. But, you know, one of those deals where a qualifier out of the sectional.
Brian Haas, our friend from Riverside.
Exactly. Exactly. Beats the number one guy in the world.
Yeah.
That's kind of tough to beat, in my point. Any last ones before you close up shop?
91-21. Zach winning the Masters?
Hmm. See, we don't even think about it now, do we?
No, I mean.
But he beat Tiger.
I think you can consider it an upset. Tiger was
second. I put that in the top
second.
Five.
I think Rory Sabatini, maybe Retief Goosen were in there. But
yeah.
Yeah, Zach, I think you can consider that.
All right, we'll throw that in there. That's a top fiver right there. Hey, appreciate all the input, as always. A lot of fun talking about that here on the program today. Stay tuned. It is the Todd Rommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, live from Coach's Corner Sports Pub, 749 Mormon Trek Boulevard in the Walden Square in Iowa City. And you guys have a good week, and I will talk to you on the airwaves a week from Monday.
Sounds great. Have a good time.
All right. This has been the Gym Class on KGYM.
When smart businesses need to grow their team, they do it on the site proven to deliver, Indeed.com. According to an independent study, Indeed delivers five times more hires than any other job site. More hires.